This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Above all, hold unfailing your love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins.
Let all that you do be done in love.
Now on Patchwork Heart Radio, this is Remember You Are Loved Live with your hosts Martha Fernandez-Sardina and Bill Snyder.
Welcome to Remember You Are Loved. I am Martha Fernandez-Sardina, founder and director of Remember You Are Loved, broadcasting from San Antonio, Texas, and all the way up north.
I'm Bill Snyder, the founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry, broadcasting from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. It's great to be with you once again, Martha.
It sure is great to be with you, Bill, and with each one of you who are listening to us as we journey toward Easter, toward the Easter Triduum, toward the great mystery of the Christian faith, the death and resurrection of our Lord, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, and his glorious ascension into heaven. And we are pondering, we are praying, we're looking at scriptures and looking into our hearts in light of the good news that Jesus Christ has revealed to us from Ash Wednesday all the way to Spy Wednesday on Holy Week, so as to enter then into that mystery that we celebrate Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and of course on Sunday of Easter, Easter Sunday, and into the glorious Easter season. So let's take a look here at these wonderful readings that we have during this last portion of the fourth week of Lent and into the fifth week of Lent. Here we have, Bill, two beautiful feast days, actually, as bookends for us today. First, the solemnity of St. Joseph, husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the foster father of Jesus. And then, as we close our time for this episode, we'll be looking at the great solemnity of the Annunciation. And here's one of the greatest mysteries of our faith, that God is a personal God. God reveals himself to us as a father who is very in love with his children, who cares for his children. And then we see that even Jesus, when he takes on flesh, when the second person of the Blessed Trinity becomes man and dwells among us, takes flesh from his virginal mother, he has a foster father, one who cares for him. And then we celebrate precisely that Joseph is the husband of Mary. And thanks to his docility, thanks to his openness, thanks to his obedience, we see on this March 16th and these readings for this beautiful solemnity, thanks to his docility to God and his openness to the plan of God, Jesus, in fact, is protected in the womb of his mother, Mary. And then we have this beautiful birth of Christ that we see in the gospel. And it wasn't exactly easy at the very beginning, because Joseph recognizes that Mary is expecting, and he knows he's not touched that woman. He knows that though they are betrothed and she is legitimately his wife, they have had no relations. And in fact, we believe that Joseph and Mary never did have intimate relations, not before and not after the birth of Christ. But what's beautiful, and I need to point out here, Bill, is something that we can all learn from Joseph. Even when we are not certain what's going on in our lives, what's going on in the lives of those around us, even when, like Joseph, he wanted to divorce her quietly so as not to expose her to shame, but divorce her nonetheless because he's saying, well, this child isn't mine, that we remain, like Joseph, open to any revelation that God might give us, because God may be doing something that we're unaware of. And that's what I wanted to highlight to begin here, that when the angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says, fear not, you have nothing to fear. She will bear a son and you will name him Jesus, because it was through the Holy Spirit that this child was conceived. That is exactly what Joseph does. Upon awaking, he did as the angel commanded him and took his wife into his home. That is beautiful, because he then becomes the foster father of Jesus. And as we see during the Christmas season, when the life of the child was in danger, he protects them. They flee to Egypt. He brings them back to Nazareth. And then Jesus grows up precisely to be the man and the savior that we know that he is. Isn't that beautiful, to be that kind of a father and have that kind of a father?
It is. Joseph, for men out there, is a wonderful patron because he acts. You know, you said it, that he acts when the angel, when God speaks to him, do this, he acts to protect, he acts to guard, and he acts to preserve the Christ child and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the other thing that many people may not recognize is that Joseph never says a word anywhere in Scripture. He never says a word. What does that give to us men? That we are required to act before we speak. So therefore, when God is calling us to do something, therefore we should act. We should live out the gospel with our actions instead of telling people, oh my gosh, we're doing all these great things. We're trying to build up ourselves then. That's not what we should be doing. It's acting as the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And that is why St. Joseph is such a powerful saint. And he is one that many people, his title is Terror of Demons, because he acts so, because he acts in accordance with the will of God.
Yes, and the demons just flee from his presence. He has many more titles, and we're going to move along, but one of the ones I like the most is he is the protector of the universal church, and I also call him when I pray the rosary, and we have a little litanies of saints. You know, you can include your own saints, and I call him also protector of virgins, mothers, and children. He's the just one, and that's exactly what we see on Friday of the fourth week of Lent. The just one, meaning the prophet, is obnoxious to those who are not living in justice. And so they say, let us beset the just one, not speaking of Joseph, but the just one, the holy one, the prophet that the Lord has sent to the people of Israel. And he says, because he is obnoxious to us. And this is sometimes what happens, that those who are not living in the law of the Lord, in the love of the Lord, those who are not wanting to hear the voice of the Lord, take it out on those who are just and gentle and pure. And that's why sometimes we wonder precisely why is it that the more we live according to the mandates of the Lord, the more the world and those who are unbelievers and anti-believers, they take it out on us. Well, we're in good company, because that's exactly what we see in the history of salvation. And yet the Lord comes to our rescue. And a lot of times it seems like the world knows more than we do of what's going on. And the opposite is true. And Jesus himself points it out in that gospel from John 7, when he says, oh, you think you know who I am, right? Because they say, he is the Christ, some say, but then the Christ is not going to be known where he's come from. And so they have this argument going on, and Jesus says, you know me, and also know where I'm from. Yet I do not come on my own, but the one who sent me, whom you do not know, is true. So there's this intensifying dialogue and discussion and even argument as we approach Holy Week as to who is this man, Jesus. And he is revealing more and more in the Gospels, I am one with the Father. I am sent by the Father. I am not who you think you are. And this is something that each one of us can ponder. Sometimes we think we are so sure that we know things that we don't fully know, and we need to ask the Lord to continue to open our eyes to see better, to see fully, to see with the light of Christ.
Reflecting on this reading of this book of wisdom that you're referring to, it is almost prophetic. It's almost prophetic. And I like the last, actually it is prophetic. Let's look at that, the last couple verses of it. It says, let us condemn him to a shameful death, for according to his own words, God will take care of him. These were their thoughts, but they erred, for their wickedness blinded them, and they knew not the hidden counsels of God. Neither did they count on a recompense or of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward.
Let me read that back, because that's very interesting. Neither did they count on a recompense of holiness, nor discern the innocent soul's reward. In other words, they weren't counting on what God has in store for the good and the righteous, huh?
Exactly right. They didn't. They can't see almost past the end of their noses. You know, that's the beauty of having faith, is that we have foresight into, okay, God has something in store for us. Amidst all our present suffering, amidst all the things that might be going wrong in our lives, we have the foresight to know that it's going to get a heck of a lot better.
That's exactly right. And we need to put our faith in Christ. And that's what this whole Lenten season is helping us to do, is to put our faith in Christ, to believe Christ, to be able to say, like the guards we see in the gospel of Saturday of the fourth week of Lent, the guards were sent by the Pharisees to capture Jesus, and they come back without him. And they say, "Why didn't you bring him?" The guards answers, "Never before has anyone spoken like this man." We need to ask ourselves, have I heard Jesus? Have I heard what he's saying to my soul? Do I believe? Do I put my trust in him? Do I see in him the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of God? And as we move into the Sunday readings for the fifth Sunday of Lent, we have precisely that continuous call of God to write his law on our hearts. Not only has he written them on the tablets, the Ten Commandments on stone, but to write on our stony hearts the law of God, so that we might know from the inside out who God is, what he is about, and live according to the will and the ways of the Lord, knowing, as we've just said, Bill, that our recompense is holiness, that our recompense is returning fully to the image and likeness in which we were created, that is, in the image and likeness of God. And so we, each one of us, needs to continuously in prayer more fully ask ourselves, am I conforming myself to that which I am in the eyes of God? And for that, death must happen. We need to deny ourselves. We must die, which is why Jesus says in the gospel on Sunday that unless the wheat fall and die, it will bear no fruit. But if the wheat does fall and die, it will produce much fruit. Whoever loses his life will save it, preserve it for eternal life. And whoever does not lose his life, in other words, if you retain your ownership over your own being and self, you will forfeit your life. And that is the call of this Lenten season. To what degree am I dying to self and embracing the true self? And to what degree am I hanging on to this, which is not going to bear fruit? Right, Bill?
Exactly. And I think that's portrayed in the psalm where we say, create in a clean heart in me, O God, right? We die to self, create, die to sin, and rise to new life. And that's how we bear fruit. We must clean our hearts. And we must be wheat that dies and then springs to new life to create more fruit and a rich harvest. Absolutely.
And make sure that we're not letting our consciences go dead on us, as we see in the book of Daniel for the first reading in the Monday of the fifth week of Lent, that the elders and the judges and the others had allowed their hearts to get so clogged up and so lustful. Even there's that beautiful story of Susanna who is taken advantage of, is about to be taken advantage of by some elders, men who should have known, but it says that they poisoned their own consciences and they no longer wanted to live what was right. But of course, they're caught in their lies. And this is a lesson for us, because so many people, public figures, politicians and actors and entertainers, and so many people, they lie in so many ways, and it seems like they get away with this. But in this beautiful reading, we're reminded that God will not let us get away with it, right? And there's that beautiful story, which I really recommend that people read it with great attention, pay attention as an examination of conscience. And of course, they're caught in their lies when they're separated and asked, what tree, under which tree was it that you exactly saw this woman with this young man? Because when they couldn't take advantage of her, they accused her of having been with a man, a young man. And of course, they say the wrong tree. One says an oak tree, the other one says a different tree, and they're caught in their lie, because God will not let sin go unpunished. And so that's it's a call. It's a call for each one of us to say, am I living in the truth? Am I living in the truth, or am I living in the lie? Am I letting my conscience being conformed to the world, or am I really forming my conscience according to revelation as God would want? And so as we move forward in this fifth week of Lent, again, the call is for us to trust the Lord, to not grow impatient, as the Israelites did as they were journeying in the desert. It says that they became worn out. Their patience was worn out by the journey. Bill, does that happen to you sometimes? It's like life can be rough, you know? So we could get worn out with the struggles, with or even our fasting, even our almsgiving, all the practices of Lent. Sometimes it seems like Lent is a little too long. And so lest we become disheartened and impatient and complainative, as the Israelites who complain, you know, with this wretched food, it's disgusting. And of course, God then says, oh my gosh, how long will I have to put up with these people? They recognize that, well, you've sinned in complaining to the Lord. But for that not to happen, we need to ensure that we're praying, that we are keeping our eyes on the finish line, on the goal, which is resurrection with our Lord. And for that, we also have that beautiful feast, right, on Wednesday of the fifth week of Lent, which is the Feast of the Incarnation. Smack in the Lenten season, we are reminded that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. And that passage that we reflected on, Bill, on the feast of, on the solemnity of St. Joseph, we then see again in its full flourishing on the Feast of the Annunciation, when the angel declares unto Mary, and she asks, how is this going to happen? For I know not man. It is revealed that it will be through the Holy Spirit that she will conceive. And then she says what you and I need to say to the Lord, fiat. Let it be done to me according to your word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. Beautiful, isn't it?
It is beautiful. It is a wonderful way to wrap up this week's reflection. Let it be done to me. And with this, we leave you here this week, but stay tuned for our next few reflections here. We thank you so much for listening to this. Remember, you are loved live segment. I'm Bill Snyder for Patchwork Heart Ministry, joined by my co-host here, Martha Fernandez Sardina. Keep beating to your Catholic hearts.
And remember, you are loved.
For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Remember You Are Loved Live. This production is a joint initiative of Patchwork Heart Ministry and Prepare the Way Enterprises and may not be reproduced or distributed without express written consent. For more information about Remember You Are Loved Live, please email info@patchworkheart.org or info@rememberyouareloved.com.